Hello and welcome, mga kabetchang. It is I, your gay detective, Martin Rules, and welcome back to my channel. Yes, hello, mga kapitbahay. Andito ulit tayo, nagbabalik sa gusali. At I've been away for 2 weeks, kung napansin niyo. Dahil may mga nangyayaring sa aking personal life na medyo out of hand. Yun, nagpahinga tayo and we're back. By the way, before tayo mag-start, mga kabetchang, gusto ko lang i-shoutout itong si CNN Philippines Life dahil in-include nila tayo sa 5 Philippine True Crime Podcast that unearthed horror like no other. Ang sabi nila, the Gay Detective Podcast approaches true crime stories in a more casual manner, similar to his American counterpart Billy Sarian. Host Martin Rules narrates the terrifying details of true crime cases while applying a generous amount of makeup. Mm-hmm. Nakaloka kasi, kasama ko doon sa mga list ng mga podcast na yun, yung mga podcast na tinitingala ko or pinapakinggan ko before pa ako mag-start. So, big deal for me. Nakakatawa. Nakakataba ng puso. Oo. If you are into podcast 2, check it out. Talagay ko na lang yung link sa description box below nung article nila. And you can see other true crime podcasts na baka maging interesado kayo, diba? Okay, so last week, kung naalala nyo pa, pinag-usapan natin yung list of Pinoy cannibals. And today naman, we are going to talk about the Gonzales family. Are you familiar with that? If hindi, I got you. Okay. Yung case natin today, personally, excited ako pag-usapan siya. Dahil kung mapapansin nyo sa aking intro, lagi kong sinasabi na true crime stories na nangyari sa Pilipinas. Mm-hmm. Kasi nga naman, Philippine True Crime Stories, rather, yung title ng ating vlog. So, it surrounds sa mga krimen or misteryo na nangyari nga sa Pilipinas. Pero for today's video, magtutour tayo o pagawing ibang lugar, pagawing Australia. Mangingibang bayan tayo for the first time. And I'm so excited, yes. Shoutout nga pala kay Fernan Roble and Nan Lau for recommending this case. Kaya rin kung meron kayo nalalaman na true crime na, you know, sangkot ng mga Filipino kasi ibang bansa or true crime na nangyari sa Pilipinas at saka mga misteryo, let me know sa comment section below at pag-uusapan natin yan sa mga susunod na episodes. Let me just remove these gloves and sabay-sabay nating lawakan ang ating horizon. Dahil this story is about a Filipino family living in Australia. Talaga namang sobrang gruesome ng nangyari. Kaya naman, let's STFU and proceed to the story. Babala, ang mga susunod na imahe, istorya, at description ay maaari makapagdulot ng takot. Huwag magpatuloy kung kinakailangan. Okay, let's go back noong 1980s kung saan nakatira pa itong Gonzales family sa Baguio City na binubuo ni Teddy, si Mary Loiva Josephine at saka yung dalawa nilang anak na si Seth and Claudine. Nung natapos ni Teddy yung law degree niya, nagtrabaho sila nung asawa niya na si Loiva sa real estate and property development. Meron din silang video store at saka pharmacy. And noong 1989 naman, nagpatayo sila ng hotel named Queen Victoria Hotel na gumuho nung 1990 Luzon earthquake. Actually, natrap itong si Seth dun sa gumuhong establishment na naging tirahan na din nila. And luckily, si Teddy, yung tatay ni Seth, was able to save and rescue him. And after this traumatic incident, nag-migrate sila sa New South Wales, Australia. Nagtrabaho naman si Teddy as a lawyer, of course, after studying Australian legal system para makapag-practice. Eventually, he opened his own law firm called E. Gonzales and Associates noong 1996 where he worked as an immigration lawyer and yung asawa naman niya, office manager dun sa business nila. Yung law firm nila ended up being successful and thriving. Kaya naman, they were able to buy this big house in number 6 Collins Street, North Ryde. And si Teddy and Loiva ay very religious and strict parents. because they have high hopes, or should I say high expectations, for their children. And pangarap nga nila na sa university itong dalawa na mag-aral dahil ayaw nilang maranasan ng anak nila yung naranasan nila before. Especially yung panganay na si Seth, inaasahan nila na sundan niya yung yapak ng kanyang tatay na mag-practice ng law or di naman kaya medicine. And we can definitely say na si Seth and Claudine live a comfortable life dahil sa hardworking parents nila. Binibigyan sila ng allowance para hindi na sila mag-work at makapag-focus sa studies and grades nila. And pinaplano rin nung mag-asawa na ibenta yung tinitira nila ngayon, that time, para bilhan itong si Seth and Claudine ng sarili nilang place. Pero like any other Asian parents, itong si Teddy and Loiva ay may pagka tiger mom and tiger dad. Mm-hmm. Dahil meron silang limitations. Katulad na lang na kapag hindi nag-live up sa expectations nila itong si Seth and Claudine, halimbawa na lang pag nag-boyfriend and girlfriend or didn't do well in school, paparosahan nila ito, like tatanggalan ng luho, i-disinherit, tatanggalan ng sasakyan, ng allowance, ganyan. So ganun yung patakaran nila na parang we'll give everything pero pagbutihan mo lang yung pag-aaral, parang ganyan. Si Seth attended Parramatta High School kung saan he didn't do well dahil wala siyang interes sa pag-aaral. He performed poorly sa HSC exam niya or Higher School Certificate exam, which means hindi siya makakapag-apply directly to law or medicine, na ikinagalit ng parents niya. Pero itong si Seth ay interesado talaga siya sa pagkanta, pag-create ng music, at doon niya lahat binubuhos yung kanyang attention. But the parents don't like this. Mm-hmm. Nung narinig siguro nila si Seth na kumanta, siguro sabi nila, "Honey, ba't mas bagay sa'yo mag-doktor or abogado?" Char. Of course, si Seth obey his parents at nag-aral sa University of New South Wales taking medical science. Ikinatuwa ito ng parents niya finally, pero syempre, itong si Seth again is not doing very well because of Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. And this led to falsifying his grades to his parents, leading his parents to believe na he was doing good sa university. Actually, itong si Seth was honest sa kanyang kapatid na si Claudine, bragging how he managed to fool their parents. Pero itong si Claudine na may sarili din problema na, at nahihirapan na to live up with her parents' expectations, na who was at that time still in high school, pero got into a relationship na sobrang, alam nyo yan, sobrang against yung kanyang parents. Diyos ko dahil. Yung parents nila believe na it's a distraction na mag-boyfriend itong si Claudine. Kaya naman ang ginawa nila, pinadala nila ito sa Melbourne with an aunt para makapag-focus sa studies. Pero itong si Claudine and her boyfriend, tuloy pa rin kahit LDR at kahit against ang parents, push pa din sila. Until itong si Seth threatened itong boyfriend ni Claudine, saying na he was in a gang. And eventually, yung young couple broke up. So hindi na nakakagulat pag sinabi ko sa inyo na itong si Claudine agad-agad nagsumbong sa parents nila tungkol sa studies ni Seth sa UNSW. Nag-away yung magsyupatid, oo. Kaya naman, nung nalaman ito ni Teddy at Loiva na itong si Seth ay failed and could be expelled, they threatened to take away his privileges katulad ng car and allowance. At noong mga time na nangyayari ito, si Seth actually meron siyang girlfriend na 4 years older sa kanya. And meron din siyang banda called Definite Vibes na nagtutour sa mga nightclubs and nag-host ng dance parties. And they make a decent money out of it. Actually, meron silang fans, hindi nyo kaya. Meron kasing fanpage na dedicated dito kay Seth, run by a girl named Daisy Diaz. At sobrang cringy ng mga posts sa website na yun. Nakakaloka. Ang sabi sa isang post, and I quote, "Hi, if you stumble into here by accident, I'm Daisy Diaz and I wrote this page for my best friend, Seth or Philo Flava, whatever it is that you call him. Remember that he's sweetie and a true friend. Besides being caring, trustworthy, cute, humble, kind, understanding, intelligent, and can sing in a way that makes any girl hearts melt. If you mess with him, you mess with me. I'm not really that tough, but I'll be there for him because he's always there for me." End quote. May mga photos rin itong si Seth dun sa website expressing how she support him. By the way, add ko lang na yung girlfriend nung Seth doesn't really consider herself and Seth a couple. Sabi niya it was a brief romance and barely even know Seth. After nung fling nila, bumalik agad siya dun sa dati niyang jowa. But Seth, on the other hand, believed na they were deeply in love. At kahit na bumalik na itong si Ate Girl sa dati niyang jowa, si Seth naniniwala na magbabalikan sila ulit. And he went as far as buying an engagement necklace. Despite all of this, yung parents ni Seth wanted him to focus on his studies and ended up dropping his medical science after 2 years, and nag-enroll naman siya sa Macquarie University taking up law. Hindi ko alam kung anong meron, pero itong si Seth is doing better and actually mataas yung kanyang grades, kaya naman yung kanyang dad hired him as a paralegal sa kanilang law firm and IT assistants. Binilan din siya ng bagong car with personalized plate number. May nabasa ako na ito yung time na sinufalsify ni Seth yung kanyang grades sa kanyang parents and trineten yung boyfriend ni Claudine, kaya sila nag-break up, and kaya itong si Claudine nagsumbong sa parents nila. Sometimes sa mga articles, hindi talaga magkakaparehas yung timeline ng story. But either way, let's move on nung July 10, 2001. It was said na normal and average day ito para sa mga Gonzales. Si Teddy and Loiva are at work sa kanilang law firm. Si Seth naman ay pumasok sa university nung morning and went to his father law office or law firm nung afternoon para tulungan siya with some IT issues. Si Claudine naman was at home from Melbourne. It was said na school holiday, pero she stayed at home studying. Seth had a plan that evening to catch up with a friend. Sinundo niya itong friend named Sam around 8 p.m. and then nag-dinner sila sa Planet Hollywood at Gomora Bells sa Galaxy World Arcade, and then mga 11 p.m. na siya nakauwi. Hinatid niya pa uwi itong si Sam and went home after. Mga 11:30 or 11:45 nung nakauwi siya sa kanilang bahay. And upon entering sa kanilang baler, he saw the lifeless bodies of his family members. Si Teddy, yung tatay niya, still in his business suit from that day, hawak yung kanyang briefcase and he was lying on the living room. Not far from Teddy, si Loiva naman, yung nanay ni Seth, ay napapalibutan ng mga grocery na pinamili niya during what appeared to be a vicious attack. Immediately, si Seth dialed 000 ng mga 11:48 p.m. alerting the police and telling them na nakita niya yung parents niya and they were shot. Sobrang hysterical niya during the phone call. Ang sabi niya, in a quote, "Please come. Someone is at my parents. There is a lot of blood everywhere. Help me, help me. When will they come?" End quote. After nitong call, sabi nitong Seth, meron siyang narinig na noise galing sa bahay niya. And ang ginawa niya, tinignan niya to investigate. May nakita daw siyang dalawang intruders which he proceeded to chase but they got away. Dali-daling lumabas itong si Seth papunta dun sa kanilang kapitbahay na si John, shouting and banging on the door to get his attention. The commotion managed to wake John and other neighbor including a man named Shane Henley. Nanginginig at umiiyak si Seth with his hand on his head habang nakaupo sa garage nila. Both John and Shane were with Seth, trying to figure out kung ano yung nangyari. When suddenly, biglang tumayo itong si Seth at sinigaw na, "I know CPR." And then pumasok siya sa loob ng bahay nila. Sinundan naman siya ni Shane. Pero upon seeing the bloodied bodies of Teddy and Loiva, alam niyang hindi na ito masasalba pa ng CPR. Nagsisisigaw itong si Seth saying, "Papa, papa, daddy, daddy." And sinubukan siyang pigilan itong Shane. Pero pumunta naman si Seth sa mom niya and started shouting, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." Eventually, dumating yung ambulance and yung mga police first entered the house to establish whether the scene was safe for paramedics. Dahil hindi sila sure, baka nandun pa sa loob yung killer. Mm-mm. Upon entering the house, nakita nila yung lifeless body ni Teddy and Loiva sa living room floor. And when they made their way upstairs, nakita nila yung body or na-discover nila yung body ni Claudine sa kanyang bedroom. Nung in-examine yung crime scene, it was established na yung unang pinatay was 18-year-old Claudine who had been home alone studying in her bedroom nung inatake siya mga around 4:30 nung July 10. She was strangled. Tinalo siya ng baseball bat sa ulo or similar to that object 6 times. She had a fractured skull and was stabbed 5 times sa kanyang leg and 2 times naman sa kanyang torso. Yung ginamit na kutsilyo ay kitchen knife ng mga Gonzales that were missing by the time police arrived. An hour later, mga 5:30 p.m., dumating si Loiva, 43 years old, from work sa bahay nila and meron siyang dalang mga groceries. Pagpasok niya, she was attacked kaya nagkalat yung mga pinamili niya around her. Sinaksak siya with the same knife na ginamit kay Claudine and she sustained cuts sa kanyang face, back, chest, and abdomen. Yung windpipe niya had been also slashed during the attack and meron din siyang defensive cuts sa arms and hands. Around 6:50 p.m. naman, dumating yung padre de familia na si Teddy who faced the same fate katulad ni Loiva and Claudine. Like his wife, Teddy was attacked upon entering his home. Yung lungs and heart niya, carotid artery, jugular vein, pati yung spine niya was severed. Meron din siyang defensive wounds indicating na he was trying to fight off his attacker. And there was a strange thing na iniwan itong attacker sa bahay ng mga Gonzales. It was a racist remarks sa wall ng bahay saying, "Fuck off Asians." And sa lower right nung message, may nakalagay na KKK. Isa pang nakakapagtaka, none of the victims had been shot. Unlike dun sa sinabi ni Seth sa emergency call. Dahil based sa examination, they all have been brutally stabbed. Yung mga police believe na itong graffiti ginawa to make this look like a hate crime towards Asians or Asian community, or sa Gonzales family mismo, being they were immigrants from the Philippines. Meron ding indication ng robbery dahil yung laman ng handbag at briefcase ni Teddy and Loiva ay nagkalat dun sa crime scene. Yung cord ng telepono nila had been cut, pati yung cabinet nila or drawers, gulo-gulo, indicating na may naghalughog. May mga aso itong Gonzales family that of course will do anything to protect the people inside the house. But surprisingly, the attacker easily restrained them in a room and they were unharmed. Later, sabi ng mga police, walang robbery ang involved dahil walang mamahalin or importanteng gamit yung nawawala. Yung alahas ni Loiva was still there. Yung $700 ni Teddy sa kanyang wallet or sa briefcase niya ay hindi binawasan. Pati yung gamit nitong mag-asawa na kinalat ng killer was purposely placed there after the crime. Okay, bago tayo magpatuloy, gusto ko muna kayong tanungin mga kabetsyang. Do you ever wonder how I create my podcast? Gusto nyo bang magsimula na rin ng sarili ninyong show at i-conquer ang podcasting world pero worried kayo sa recording, editing at iba pang masasamang elemento na maaaring pumigil sa vibe ninyo? Well, worry no more, honey, dahil sobrang easy na mag-start ng podcast ngayon using Anchor. Libre lang sa Zay. At sa mismong app, you can already record and edit your podcast. And publish it on various platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at marami pang iba. As your gay detective, I can attest to the fact that Anchor is guilty for being the easiest way to make a podcast. So download it now on App Store, Play Store, or access it via the website www.anchor.fm for free. Anchor, everything you need to make a podcast. Now back to the episode. Ni Teddy sa kanyang wallet or sa briefcase niya ay hindi binawasan. Pati yung gamit nitong mag-asawa na kinalat ng killer was purposely placed there after the crime. Sa kitchen, yung isang fly screen was removed, slashed, and thrown outside. Pero walang footprints sa kitchen counter, which is expected kung ito yung entry point ng killer. Obviously, kung sino man yung gumawa nito, set this up para i-push yung narrative ng robbery. Pero the fact that yung crime, hindi lang siya nangyari sa isang specific na oras, katulad ng mga usual na robbery, kasi sa mga balita nating napapanood, in the middle of the night, nangyayari yung robbery, and they would take everything na tingin nilang valuable. But this one, hapon at magagabi nangyari. And sobrang interesting lang na alam ng killer yung oras ng uwi ng mga biktima. Mm-mm. Merong fresh water na natagpuan sa tiles ng CR ng mga Gonzales, which was determined to have been after the murder took place. So the killer probably washed off or showered and really took their time and feels like they weren't in a rush. Bukod sa kitchen window na pinagmukhang, you know, entry point ng killer, walang signs ng break-in. So yung mga police were looking doon sa mga kalapit or kakilala ng mga Gonzales family or yung merong access doon sa bahay. Meron ding bloody shoe print ang nakita sa loob ng bahay, pero it didn't belong to anybody na pumasok sa may crime scene. Hindi kay Seth, hindi sa neighbors, hindi sa police, hindi rin sa paramedics. And yung shoe print were identified as UK size 7, running laceless shoe. Nung kwenestyon ng police si Seth dahil siya lang yung buhay sa Gonzales family, ang sabi niya meron siyang nakitang dalawang intruders na tumakbo and hinabol niya pero hindi niya naabutan. Nung tinanong din ng mga police yung mga kapitbahay, ang sabi nila wala silang napansin na suspicious at narinig na sigaw or pagtatalo. Nagbigay ng official statement itong si Seth sa police station. Ang sabi niya, nung umaga pumunta siya sa university and then after that pumunta naman siya sa law office ng kanyang dad to help with some IT stuff. Umalis siya ng 4 p.m. dahil makikipag-meet siya with his friend Sam ng 5 p.m. pero Sam ended up postponing hanggang 8 p.m. Umuwi siya ng 6 p.m. and thought that nobody was home dahil walang movement sa bahay, tahimik at saka patay yung mga ilaw. Also, it was raining. Kaya naghintay lang siya sa loob ng car niya hanggang tumila yung ulan bago pumasok sa loob ng kanilang bahay. Eventually, he decided na hindi na pumasok kasi yung friend niya just got a new house sa Kingsford, mga 30 minutes away, and napag-desisyonan niya na puntahan na lang ito. Ang weird lang kasi wala siyang number and address nitong friend niya na ito, which is sobrang peshe. He was driving around hanggang mag 8 p.m. and then pinick up niya si Sam at nag-dinner sila sa may Planet Hollywood at nag-arcade after. Seth got home na mga 11 p.m. kung saan natagpuan niya yung katawan ng parents niya. Noong July 13 naman, pumutok itong balita at itong si Seth nagpatawag ng press conference at nananawagan na lumantad na or lumabas na yung killer ng pamilya niya. Nag-offer din siya ng $100,000 reward for any information that would lead to the capturing of the family's killer. Ang sabi niya sa press con, and I quote, "The best way possible I can describe my father is that he was my hero and role model. He believed that there is no limit to what he could do for his family and friends. I admire him in every way possible, and my greatest aim in life was to one day become at least half the man that he was," end quote. Dagdag pa niya, quote unquote, "My mother was the heart of the family. She was heart of her friends and anyone who knew her. We have always confronted each other as best of friends, and she made it seem that nothing was impossible. My sister was the life in the family. She was expert in smiling and made us believe that life should be taken lightly. She had always told me that I was more talented than her and that she looked up to me. I had always replied to that with a smile. I never got the chance to tell her that I look up to her. It is difficult to explain the love and ties in my family. But if you were to picture the four corners of the world, in my world, we were the four. The three corners of my world are now gone. My family, friends, and myself would like to ask anyone out there to please help us." And since this case is gaining attention sa press and media, mayroong mga speculations and rumors tungkol dun sa gumawa ng krimen. Sabi ng ilan, maaaring may kinalaman yung business ni Teddy dito and might have been corrupt and involved in some dubious stuff. Meron daw siyang ties with local criminal gang at pinatay yung tatlo sa Gonzales family to send a message. Of course, may usap-usapan din na this is a hate crime pagkatapos kumalat ng picture with a racist remarks na graffiti dun sa living room nila. People thought that this upper middle class family must have been doing shady stuff na may taong maghihiganti sa kanila. It was discovered noong late 1990s na detect si Teddy ng Department of Immigration for allegedly helping Filipino immigrants fabricate their documents seeking refuge in Australia. And na-charge siya with 4 counts of falsifying documents. Pumunta siya sa trial pero he was cleared with all the charges. Seemingly, may mga taong galit kay Teddy sa pag-keep niya ng pera nila kahit na denied yung visa applications nila. Noong 2001 naman, narinig nung office mate ni Teddy na sinigawan niya yung kausap niya sa telepono, which is unlikely of him. And then he later explained na nasa gitna siya ng pagbebenta ng property sa isang investor back in the Philippines. And then naging heated yung conversation dahil sinabihan siya ng kausap niya sa telepono na papatayin yung buong pamilya niya. Anyway, going back nung press conference, etong si Seth, pumunta siya dun sa accountant ng dad niya trying to get his inheritance. Dahil, yung estate nila is worth $1.5 million in Australia and 1.3 million pesos in the Philippines. So, it was a lot of cha-ching! It was a lot. Hindi ko alam kung bakit may pagmamadali itong si Kuya. Oo. Eh, clearly, he would get all the inheritance ngayong patayin yung kapatid niyang si Claudine at yung parents niya na si Teddy and Loeva. At this time, hindi niya ma-access yung mana. Kasi sa pagkakaalam ko, matanggap mo yung inheritance after 6 to 8 months. Pero this can vary dahil every estate is different. And after ng probate, meaning pagkatapos ma-review, validate, and authenticate ng korte yung will ng deceased person. Pero I'm not really sure kung ganun din yung process sa mga pinatay na family members. Yung funeral was held on July 20 at inatinan ng 200 people, including yung ibang family na galing sa Philippines. During eulogy, Seth again spoke about his parents, reiterating about those he mentioned during the press conference. At dahil si Seth really loved singing, dahil, you know, Sound of Music, kinanta niya yung kantang One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. Nagkaroon ito ng mixed reactions. Yung iba saw it as awkward and out of place, pero yung iba felt sympathy for this young baby face that just lost both of his parents and sister. Pagkatapos kong mapakinggan yung kanyang acapella, all I can say is, find the note. So since yung mga police doesn't get any leads sa case, and yung mga motives aren't making any sense, they decided to look closely sa mga malapit sa pamilya, and finally, looked into Seth because he was acting strange. Kaya naman yung mga police were a little suspicious about him.
Mm-hmm.
As they should. Also, may mga butas din yung kanyang alibi. Remember, nung nakipagkita siya kay Sam ng 8 p.m, his friend verified this. And meron din CCTV footage na kumain sila sa may Planet Hollywood and then nag-arcade after. Pero during the time of the murder, walang solid alibi itong si Seth. Sam was questioned tungkol sa behavior ni Seth that night. Ang sabi niya, he was in his normal, cheerful, and outgoing self, mostly talking about the girl that he had been obsessed with na tinututulan ng parents niya. Nothing seemed off according to Sam, pero nabanggit daw sa kanya ni Seth na nagdadrive daw ito all afternoon looking for his friend na nakatira sa Kingsford, remember? Yung wala siyang address and number. Dagdag pa ni Sam, panay raw hiram ni Seth ng cellphone niya para tawagan yung telepono nila sa bahay. At tumatawag ito every 15 minutes and parang mukha siyang concerned. Pero nung sinuggest niya na dumaan sila sa bahay nila Seth to check on them, Seth dismissed the idea. At nung drop off ni Seth itong si Sam sa bahay nila, madadaanan muna kasi yung bahay ng mga Gonzales. So ang ginawa ni Seth, nag-slow down siya and parang chinecheck niya yung house. And then he goes back to his normal pace. Naalala niyo rin ba na distinct yung sasakyan ni Seth with a personalized plate number? Well, yung isa sa mga client ni Teddy na nag-drop by sa bahay nila mga 4:10 to 4:30 ng hapon, the same time na pinatay si Claudine, ang sabi, nag-drop lang siya ng documents sa letterbox ng mga Gonzales when he noticed Seth's car. Yung kapatid naman ni Loiva na si Emily Luna, tita ni Seth, also visited the house around 6 p.m. Pauwi na sana siya after sunduin yung anak niya sa school, pero she decided na daanan yung kapatid niya sa bahay nito. Pagdating niya, patay yung ilaw, tahimik, at parang walang tao. Yung sasakyan ni Seth was there sa garage, tulad ng statement niya na he was there around that time. Pero ang sabi niya, it was raining, kaya hindi siya lumabas ng sasakyan and left shortly after. Pero according to Emily, when she paid a visit, napansin niya na walang tao dun sa sasakyan and hindi umuulan. And she distinctly remembered this dahil hindi siya nagdala ng payong para sa kanilang mag-ina papalakad towards her sister's house. Nag-doorbell siya pero walang sumagot. And then after ilang minutes, nag-doorbell ulit siya pero again, no answer. Sumilip siya sa bintana katabi ng pinto and she saw somebody wearing jacket and a baseball cap. Pero yung son niya reassured her that it was nothing at sabitan lang ito ng jacket or coat. So she decided to go around the house para siguro kumatok sa back door. Pero nung nag-start na siya maglakad, she felt uneasy and decided to just left. Medyo sketchy rin nung time of the murder pagdating ng police and paramedics sa crime scene, after ni Seth tumawag sa police at nag-iiyak hysterically, pero wala ni isang tuldok ng luha sa mukha niya. Sabi niya pa sa isang officer habang ini-inspeksyon ng authorities yung bahay nila, he was embarrassed kasi they were searching the house, which meant they were going to search his room, and kakabili niya lang daw ng porn video na nasa drawer niya. Apparently, may mas paki pa siya sa porn video niya kaysa dun sa mga family members niya na pinatay na. Also, remember nung sinabi ni Seth na sinubukan niyang i-CPR yung parents niya? Pero he only had a little amount of blood on him. Merong konti sa jeans, spots ng blood sa boots niya at sa sleeves ng jumper niya. We're all aware na sobrang bloody nung crime scene, right? So, sobrang suspicious lang na kakaunti lang na dugo yung nasa damit niya. I'm not really sure kung natuyo lang ba yung blood kasi 4 to 6pm nangyari yung krimen. And then nung pumunta siya sa bahay ng 11pm at nag-perform ng CPR, baka, you know, tuyo na, or not really sure. In his defense, sabi niya it was raining kaya it washed some of the bloods on his clothes. And nilinis niya daw yung hands niya on the wet grass, which literally makes no sense. Also, merong blue stain sa sleeve ng jumper niya. And ayon sa investigation, similar ito dun sa blue paint na nakita sa wall, sa graffiti wall na merong racial slur dun sa bahay nila. Sa kwarto niya, authorities also found shoebox UK size 7 running laceless shoe na tugmang-tugma sa bloody shoe print na nakita sa crime scene. Wala lang sapatos sa loob ng box. At itong si Seth nagpalusot na hindi sa kanya yung sapatos. Binili daw ito ng dad niya for his cousin in the Philippines. Sure, Jan. Sure. Ang sabi naman ni Sam, merong baseball bat si Seth sa compartment niya in case na kailangan niyang ipagtanggol yung sarili niya. At kung maalala niyo, yung murder weapon ay kutsilyo at baseball bat na hindi na-recover ng mga police. At this point, siya na talaga yung suspect kasi, di ba, nakita niyo naman sa kanya na lahat nakaturo. Pero wala silang solid evidence against him. Kaya inimbita nila si Seth sa police station at pina-reenact yung nangyari nung gabi ng krimen. And then nung dinescribe niya ulit, nung natagpuan niya yung lifeless body ng parents niya, hindi man lang siya nalungkot. In fact, hindi siya upset at all. He is being consistent at talaga namang ganito ka-stick sa kanyang story na meron siya nakitang dalawang intruders fleeing the scene at sinubukan niya itong habulin. So the police reenact this para tingnan kung posible ba ito at kung nagsasabi ba siya ng totoo. Pumunta ulit sila sa bahay ng mga Gonzales and according sa mga authorities, they determined na by the time Seth reached the garage, yung dalawang intruders na sinubukan niyang habulin wouldn't have been in sight. Hey, Betchangs! Want to start your own podcast pero worried about what goes through the production process? Girl, if hindi mo pa naririnig, may I share with you Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Just download it via the App Store, Play Store, or access it from the website www.anchor.fm for free. Tapos meron na silang creation tools doon that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right away. You also don't have to worry about the distribution on different platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and others dahil Anchor will do the job for you. Now back to the episode. Kanyang story na meron siya nakitang dalawang intruders fleeing the scene at sinubukan niya itong habulin. So the police reenact this para tingnan kung posible ba ito at kung nagsasabi ba siya ng totoo. Pumunta ulit sila sa bahay ng mga Gonzales and according sa mga authorities, they determined na by the time Seth reached the garage, yung dalawang intruders na sinubukan niyang habulin wouldn't have been in sight. Tinanong din nila yung tungkol sa baseball bat na binanggit ni Sam. Ang sabi niya, in a quote, "I don't have that anymore. I don't know what happened to it," end quote. Nung in-interview naman ng mga authorities yung family and friends niya, para magkaroon ng idea who Seth was, they found out that Seth was a pathological liar. It's like personality niya na magkwento ng kasinungalingan sa family, friends, and acquaintances niya. Like for example, sabi niya expert siya sa taekwondo at meron siya sariling security company, world champion kickboxer daw siya, a PT, which I believe physical therapist, lawyer, meron siyang mga property na pagmamay-ari, and he traveled to New York for meetings and business deals. Sabi niya rin, manager siya ng isang boy band at music producer, own a record deal, meron siyang modeling agency, and told everyone na meron siyang cancer to gain sympathy, and then later said na he beat the cancer and was in remission. Also, yung fanpage na pinapatakbo nung Daisy Diaz, girl, huhulaan pa ba tayo dito? Of course, siya rin yung nagpapatakbo nun. Kaloka kayo talaga. What a narcissistic psychopath. Look, we don't humiliate mental disorder in this channel, right? Because I believe it should be addressed professionally. Pero kung si Seth ang pag-uusapan, Diyos ko, kikita niyo itong mga kuko na to, gusto kong ibaon ito sa leeg niya. Ganon yung gigil ko sa kanya ngayon, mga sis. Meron pang family friend na ang sabi, nagnakaw ng pera itong si Seth sa wallet niya. At nung kinonfront siya ng parents niya, hindi niya dininay yung ginawa niya. And ang sabi niya, he was an opportunist. At si Teddy and Loiva hindi na rin nagulat. Dahil may suspicion sila na itong si Seth kumukuha rin ng pera dun sa kanilang wallet. Kahit na, you know, bonggang-bonggang allowance, no? May car, lahat ng luho, privileges. Napag-alaman din na at the time of the murder, hindi okay yung relasyon ni Seth sa kanyang parents dahil na rin sa hindi niya pag-live up dun sa expectations ni Teddy and Loiva. Pagkatapos ng murder, si Seth was rewarded $15,000 from the government as part of the Victims of Crime Compensation Payment para ito sa funeral ng family niya at paglilibing. At supporta na rin sa kanya for a while since wala siyang job at wala na rin yung parents niya to support him. And ever since namatay yung parents niya, he was driving his mom's car and ginastos yung $15,000 to, you know, enjoy the mullah. Nakatira rin siya sa siyalang apartment. Secure and expensive apartment actually. Sabi niya sa iba niyang relatives, ini-insist ito ng mga police dahil yung killer ng family nila was still on the loose. At ang nakakaloka dahil itong mga relatives niya yung nagbabayad ng rent dun sa apartment. And ayon sa mga police, they told no such thing about living anywhere in particular for his safety. Pumunta rin siya sa mga police at nagpakita ng email from anonymous sender written in English and Tagalog saying, maswerte siya at wala siya doon nung araw ng murder. At since convinced siya na in danger yung kanyang buhay, ginawa niyang bodyguards yung kanyang mga friends. And later, yung mga police found a draft for this email sa mismong computer ni Seth, suggesting na siya mismo yung nag-send ng mga threats na ito sa sarili niya. Noong 2001, kinontak niya yung tita niya na si Annie sa Pilipinas na nagpapatakbo ng properties at investments ni Teddy. At ang sabi niya, meron siyang brain tumor at kailangan niya ng $190,000 for his surgery. Nakahalata itong auntie, oo, na parang medyo suspicious, yes. Kaya naman hindi siya nagbigay ng pera. Instead, sinabi niya sa mga police. Noong mga sumunod na buwan, binenta ni Seth yung sasakyan niya, pati sasakyan ng parents niya, pati yung alahas ng kanyang nanay for $88,000. Pagkatapos nag-down siya ng $5,000 sa $175 Lexus na ang sabi niya babayaran niya yung remaining balance pag nakuha niya yung kanyang inheritance. Kasi nga, wala na siyang pera sis. Kaya naman, bumili na lang siya ng affordable na sasakyan with personalized plate number na TLCS, stands for Teddy, Loiva, Claudine, and Seth na initials ng kanilang mag-anak. Noong January 2002 naman, napag-alaman ni Seth na hindi benta sa mga investigators yung una niyang alibi. Dahil hindi niya alam, they bug his phone para mapakinggan yung mga conversations niya. Meron din silang undercover officer na nakipagkaibigan kay Seth para mas makakuha ng maraming informasyon. Nasa coffee shop sila noon nung kinompliment nung undercover officer yung damit niya, and then doon na nag-start yung conversation. So, chika-chika ganyan. Ang sabi nitong undercover officer na parte siya ng gang. And as a true nature ni Seth, hindi siya magpapatalo. Ang sabi niya rin, part siya ng gang at pangalan ng gang ay White Dragons, na isa na namang kasinungalingan. Dagdag pa ng officer, meron daw siyang friend sa kulungan na mamamatay na, who is willing to, you know, akuin yung krimen for Seth. Nung una, kinukonsider niya ito dahil nagdrawing pa siya ng floor plan ng bahay nila at tinuro exactly located yung katawan nung deceased family members niya. Parang pang-orient doon sa aako ng krimen. Pero nung kinumpara ng mga police yung handwriting ni Seth doon sa floor plan at saka doon sa graffiti ng wall sa bahay, it was a match. Nag-provide din siya ng time of death nung family niya dun sa drawing, which is walang kahit sino ang nakakaalam. Except dun sa mga police at sa killer, dahil hindi naman nila nilabas itong impormasyon na ito. Anyway, napag-desisyon na ni Seth na hindi mag-go sa offer nung gang na i-admit yung killings. Ang gagawin niya na lang is to plead innocent at i-continue yung story na business rival nung dad niya yung gumawa ng krimen. In January 10, same year, tinawagan ni Seth yung friend niya. Still have no idea na he was being wiretapped. Ang sabi niya sa friend niya na ito, yung una niyang alibi was a lie, pero yung pangalawa ay hindi na matitibag ng mga polis. Nung kinonfront naman siya ng mga polis, ang sabi niya, yung una niyang alibi was a lie dahil nung gabi daw ng krimen, nasa bahay aliwan daw siya. Hindi niya agad sinabi yung totoo kasi nahihiya siya and didn't want to bring shame to the family dahil hindi pa alam ng pamilya niya na virgin pa itong si Seth. Ayon sa kanya, yung nangyari daw talaga ay ganito. Umalis siya sa law office ng tatay niya ng 4 p.m. and dumiretso sa bahay at iniwan yung kanyang sasakyan. Nag-intay daw siya ng taxi sa gas station and from there, pumunta siya sa Chatswood at gumora boom boom bells sa bahay aliwan dahil ayaw niyang may makakita sa sasakyan niya. He also claimed na hindi daw tinatanggap ng sex worker yung bayad niya dahil sobrang sarap daw ng sex. Nakakatawa kasi sobrang delusional niya. Grabe. Wow. And then after that, pumunta siya sa Chatswood gas station at nag-taxi pa uwi. Once there, sumakay siya sa car niya at sinundo yung friend niya na si Sam. At dahil nga nakikinig itong mga police sa every call he made, nakita nila na he was trying to contact a sex worker, pati yung sa bahay aliwan, sa North Shore area, pati na rin yung taxi driver kinontak niya. Kinontak ng mga police itong taxi driver at ang sabi nitong taxi driver, binaba daw talaga niya itong si Seth sa isang bahay aliwan sa Chatswood. And then nung sinabi ng mga police na he is being questioned about sa triple homicide, he immediately changed his tone. Ang sabi niya, kinontak siya ni Seth noong January 12, 2002 at inoferan siya ng $50. Para sabihin niya na noong January 10, 2001, dito siya sa lugar na to pinaba. Pumayag lang daw siya dahil sinabihan siya ni Seth na yung gagawin nila was nothing serious. Noong April naman, the police were able to contact the sex worker na claim ni Seth na nakipag-sex siya. Turns out, this sex worker wasn't even working noong July 10, 2001. Clearly, his second alibi was a lie. Hindi na nakakagulat. Anyway, noong May 20, 2002, kinontak ni Seth yung mga police saying na may nanloob sa apartment niya. At meron na namang threatening emails, but this time, dalawa yung email. Ang sabi sa email, quote-unquote, "Make it easy on yourself. Confess now. Your father deserves to die. Don't talk to any reporters." Wala rin evidence na merong nanloob sa apartment niya katulad nung claim ni Seth. They traced the 2 email back to an internet cafe pero walang CCTV footage doon kaya hindi nila ma-determine kung sino nag-send nito. Pero we already knew, right? Okay. Pagkatapos, since naging sobrang maingay nga itong case na ito sa mga reporters at laging nagtatanong kay Seth, he started talking to this journalist, pero dapat may bayad ante. Oo, gawin business, ganon. Kailangan niya daw ng pera for the apartment kasi nga yung safety niya was in danger. And then nung something clicked sa kanyang, utak na medyo tacky yung pag-charge for an interview, he agreed to do a free interview sa Daily Telegraph. Sabi niya sa interview, nilooban daw yung apartment niya at yung killers daw ng family niya yung responsable dito. Noong April 2002 naman, I'm not really sure kung 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. pero si Seth was found na nakalupasay sa gutter ng Chatswood. And sa tabi niya, merong plastic bag. Eventually, dinala siya sa ospital. And ang sabi niya, hindi niya maalala yung pangalan niya and kung nasan siya. And very disoriented yung pinapakita niyang signs. Nung dumating yung mga polis at question siya sa nangyari, ang sabi niya, meron daw nang hatak sa kanya papasok sa sasakyan habang naglalakad siya. Tapos nilagyan siya ng plastic bag sa ulo at hinampas ng kahoy. Sinabihan din siya na i-withdraw yung reward money at huwag makipag-usap sa mga reporters. Dahil kung gagawin niya yon, meron daw mga consequences katulad na lang nung safety ng grandma niya. However, after nung examinations ng mga doktor sa ulo niya, walang nakita ang kahit anong injuries katulad nung sinabi niyang hinampas siya sa ulo. It's just lie, another lie, another lie. Medyo worried yung mga police dahil may suspicion sila na si Seth yung gumawa ng krimen sa pamilya niya at yung pagbabaliktad at pagsisinungaling niya ilang beses na nangyari. At may possibility na may masama siyang gawin sa grandma niya para lang mailatag yung narrative na yung killer was still on the loose at para mawala sa kanya yung spotlight. Noong June 13, 2002, nag-execute ng search warrant yung mga police apartment niya at charged siya ng 3 counts of murder and 1 count of threatening product contamination, which I'll explain later. Ni-request niya na gamitin yung pera ng family niya para ipambayad sa defense team niya, pero it was refused. Yung trial, which were the trial of jury, na nag-took place 2 years later between April and May ng 2004 and he pled not guilty. It was revealed during the trial na yung pagpatay sa family members niya had been several months in the making for Seth. Pero yung original plan talaga was to poison them. Yung search history nitong Seth revealed na he searched methods of killing at yung mga poisonous plants. And nag-purchase din siya ng castor oil seed. I'm not really sure kung nakakalason yung oil. What I do know is yung outer coating ng castor seed, yung poisonous, which is resin, that can damage liver, kidney. You may also experience nausea, abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea. The list goes on. Pag-receive niya dun sa seed, he shelled them at nilagyan ng warm water. At nilagyan niya sa canister and hid it under his desk. Pero nung nag-search yung mga police on the night of the murder, nakita nila itong canister. I told you a moment ago na meron din siyang 1 count of threatening product contamination, right? This came up dahil he denied the fact that he was trying to poison his family. Nagpadala siya ng anonymous letter sa isang major food and beverages company saying, quote-unquote, 3 of your products have been poisoned. By now, they are on supermarket shelves. This is what you get for treating employees like garbage. Good luck finding infected cans before someone dies. Go to hell. Nagpadala rin siya ng parehas na letter sa Australian Quarantine Inspection Services at sa Australian Federal Police pretending to be a concerned employee, spilling what he had heard tungkol sa pagsabotahe sa product. At yung pinagtatrabahuhan niya kuno were covering it up and putting lives at risk. Pero hindi niya na-realize na yung isa sa mga letters na pinadala niya ay merong fingerprints niya which was lifted, stored, and eventually match with himself. So, ang nangyari talaga noong July 10, 2001 was pumasok itong Seth sa university noong umaga. And then, noong hapon, pumunta siya sa law office ng dad niya para tulungan sila with some IT stuff. At pagkatapos, umalis ito ng mga 4:30 at umuwi. Pag-uwi, kinuha niya yung baseball bat sa likod ng sasakyan niya at kutsilyo sa kanilang kusina. Pumasok siya sa kwarto ng kapatid niya and attacked her. It was so brutal because he wanted to make sure na siya yung magiging sole beneficiary ng mana. Also, galit din siya kay Claudine dahil nagsubong ito sa parents niya. Remember na dinodoktor nitong Seth yung grades niya sa university. At pagkatapos, tinakpan niya ng red jumper yung kanyang sister at nag-intay for his parents to get home. Pag-uwi naman ni Loeva, mga 6 p.m., inatake siya ni Seth at pagkatapos nun, inintay ni Seth na dumating yung kanyang tatay. And around this time, nung bumisita yung sister ni Loeva, at yung nakita nung anak ng sister ni Loeva na parang coat rack lang yan, ganyan, na jacket and baseball hat, was not a coat rack, but actually Seth na nagtatago. Pagdating ni Teddy, pinatay siya ni Seth, took a shower at pinagmuhang hate crime yung krimen. He then threw all the evidence, including yung suot niyang damit, pati yung mga weapon na ginamit niya sa pagpatay, na hindi na-recover ng mga police. Pagkatapos, nakipagkita siya sa friend niya na si Sam as if walang nangyari. Sa korte, it was described yung krimen as an angry amateur dahil sa brutality ng pagpatay went above and beyond what was needed to end the life of a human being. It was believed na kaya niya ito ginawa dahil gusto niyang makuha yung mana at kilit siya sa family niya for threatening his privileges. Kaya noong May 20, 2004, si Seth Gonzalez was found guilty of 3 counts of murder, pero yung 1 count of threatening contamination was later dropped. Actually, nung binasa yung verdict, gulat na gulat yung reaction niya, still playing this innocent baby-faced bitch. Nakakapikon siya. Actually, gusto ko siyang gawin Peter ng mga aso ko. Until the end, sobrang committed siya sa character na piniplay niya. Pero, it was not effective, boo-boo. It was not working. Sabi rin sa korte na he is well and there's nothing wrong with him and was fit to stand trial. Wala siyang any mental illnesses ayon sa psychiatrist. Noong September 18, one day before his 24th birthday, sinentensyahan siya ng 3 concurrent life sentences without the possibility of parole. Nakakulong siya sa Goulburn Prison at hanggang ngayon, claims na he was innocent. And noong November 2005, may bumili sa bahay ng mga Gonzales for $720,000 who knew what had happened. So that is the case of the Gonzales family. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Naloka ako sa case na to kasi tinalo niya pa si Pinocchio sa pagiging sinungaling. Hindi niyo kaya. And sabi ko nga, sobrang consistent and committed niya sa character na piniplay niya para lang makatakas dun sa ginawa niyang krimen. Anyway, kayo naman, let's discuss this case sa comment section below. It's other social media sites. Tag me if you want. Maraming salamat sa panonood. As always, please keep safe and healthy. And I'll see you guys on my next video. Bye!